All right, good morning. The objective today is not to teach. And laugh. It's true. The objective today is to put us back in the days of Jesus. We're going to act like we don't know anything today. I'm going to ask you not to use your Bible. Oh, it's right, huh? I'm going to ask you not to use your Bible. I moved here 15 years ago. In 2 weeks, it'll be 15 years. Lived in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania right before that. Lived less than a mile from the battlefield. And around the 4th of July, when the battle took place of Gettysburg, every single year there's reenactments that happen throughout that town. And you see the huge influx of people. They come into town, and it's like, can y'all please just leave? Here we are, right? And your roads get crowded, and we're talking like two-lane roads is all we have in that area. And it would take forever. And so early in the morning, you might be having your coffee, you might be working, you might be doing your regular old thing, and all of a sudden you hear a cannon go off. You're like, what just? Oh, yeah, okay, it's reenactment time. But that kind of shock for a moment of you're not thinking about a cannon going off, imagine in 1864, on July the 3rd, you're doing your business in the morning, and all of a sudden, cannons start firing. My reaction is different in 1864 than it would have been in 2009. Why? Because in 2009, I know what was happening on July 3rd, 1864. When we read scripture, most of the time, we know the scripture already. It is unique that we get to read a scripture and we don't know that scripture. Those are regularly here. But if you've ever been with someone reading scripture that is not very familiar with it, and they read a passage of something that you just is, it's wallpaper to you. You don't even know that it's there. You don't think about it. You don't have to process it. You're like, oh, it's this chapter and this verse, and this is what it is going to say. We jump immediately to the conclusion. We don't go through that process like someone who has never heard it or experienced it before. What if you've ever sat with someone and they read a verse for the very first time, and the verse says something maybe like this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Ever heard someone read that for the very first time that doesn't know what in the world they get to? And you get to the end, and they're like, hold on, do what? You're blessed if you're persecuted? That doesn't compute with us on the very first read. But there's an explanation with this one. Because you get the kingdom of heaven. It tells us why you're blessed for what you're going through. Well, then he turns it on its head and he says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. We just made a transition. We went from them and they to it's personal. It's you. It's me. That is what Scripture is supposed to do. That is what the teaching of Jesus is supposed to do. It is supposed to teach us about them, they, us. But it is about, how does it hit right here with me? So rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. They persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? See what Jesus just did there? He goes to something that they know well about and what its purpose is. And he says to them, you are that. What happens if salt stops being salt? Well, it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. It gives light to the whole house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What did Jesus just do? Go back in your house tonight when it's dark. Go ahead and light a candle real quick. And then put it under a basket. What good does that candle do? That candle is useless. You don't light the candle, so you condemn it. They don't have clap-ons in those days, right? They don't have Amazon. Please dim the lights. No, you needed the light. So why would you hide? Why would you darken the light? I don't need to explain that to you, do I? Why? It's common sense. And that is the way in which Jesus teaches. Jesus teaches something that is so beyond us in our education and our comprehension, but yet he's able to teach it to us in ways that uneducated people can understand. He teaches us in such a way that uneducated people can understand it, but they have to work for it. They have to think about it. And he teaches us in such a way that uneducated people can understand it. Uneducated people can think about it and get it with the expectation that those uneducated people who now get it and understand it will live it. And not only that they live it, but that they share what they understand with others who don't understand it yet. And that is what I want to reenact this morning. I want everyone to stand up, please. I don't apologize. Corey apologized. I don't apologize. If you're able, please stand. Now, granted, I would normally be sitting in a boat right now if this was the actual case. Great crowds gathered about him. So he got into a boat and he sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables. A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. The birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they didn't have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked them. And other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's Jesus' teaching. What is going through your head right now? Okay, you gonna tell us any more? You gonna explain this to us? You're dismissed. Everyone can sit back down now. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. And while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" He said to him, "An enemy's done this." So the servant said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" And he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I'll tell the reapers, gather the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn." Thank you, Jesus. What are you talking about? The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Okay, tiny little seed grows into a big tree, and birds come and they live in it. That's the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. I'm not a baker. But if you were a baker, or you were a cook, or you were a Jew, and you made your own bread, guess what? You knew what leaven does. We even know what leaven does, and I don't make bread, do we? All it takes a little bit. So, hold on. What are we talking about here? We're talking about a little seed that grows into something big and strong. We're talking about a little piece of leaven that you put in a large amount, and it makes a huge difference. And the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. Okay, so the kingdom is about somebody coming across something very valuable. And he's like, I gotta have that. But he doesn't have the money to pay for it. So he goes and he finds a way to make that money to pay for it. Maybe he's out there and he's looking for something valuable. That's his job. That's his trade. And he finds it. He's like, oh man, that cost a lot. But if I buy that, I have this great treasure. I sell everything else that I got and I'll buy that. That's the kingdom of heaven. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered every kind of fish. So imagine dropping the net over the side for a second. And when it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, there's almost an explanation there. We're talking about evil and righteous. Okay. There's our first little hint of something. That's the separation, is those who are evil and those who are righteous. And what's going to happen? Oh, there's a fiery furnace. Hold on, he mentioned something earlier about something being gathered and burned. What if those things connect? So have you understood all these things? Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. And we're done. How many of you are listening to him? How many of you are following him? We're talking about a man who has gone from teaching. We started with the blessings. Blessed are these things. We didn't get to the part of, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy. Or a man built his house on the sand. And the rains came and the winds blew against that house. And great was its fall. And another man, he built his house on the rock. The wind came, the rains came. But his house stood. So is everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them. Jesus has been teaching in parables the whole time. But we wouldn't call them parables. We would call them illustrations. We would say, okay, here's the point I'm trying to make. Now let me illustrate it. Or here's my illustration. Now let me tell you exactly what I mean. When we get to Matthew 13, we stop getting the explanations. We are just getting the challenge. We're getting the same thing, but we are not told exactly what he means. And the question is, why does Jesus begin to do that? I thought Jesus wanted to be understood. I thought Jesus wanted people to know what he was about and to know who he was. Well, back in the previous chapter in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus has been teaching very authoritatively. He's been teaching through his miracles. There's a man who has a withered arm, and they are looking at him because it's the Sabbath day, and they're trying to get him, and they're looking at him, and they're saying, what's he going to do with this guy? And Jesus said, stretch out your arm. And he stretched out his hand, and he made his hand all and his arm all well. And the crowds in the synagogue who saw that on the Sabbath day said, can this be the son of David? And the Pharisees who saw that very same thing, they went out and they conspired about how they might kill him. And other of the Pharisees came down from Jerusalem, and instead of saying, okay, he's the son of David, they say to him, no, he's not the son of David. It's only by Beelzebul, the prince of the demons, that this man casts out demons. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. And no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? It's a rhetorical question, isn't it? It won't. And so if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they'll be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. How can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then, indeed, he can plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the one to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You prune of vipers. How can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's what it was like in a day with Jesus. We take it for granted that we have it compiled all for us, and it is easy for us to try and understand. They didn't have a copy of it. They just had the remembrance of it. And so the challenge that I want to leave with us this day is very simple. Do I want to understand Jesus? If I want to understand Jesus, then I have to put in the work to understand Jesus. You can't rely on Alexander. You can't rely on me. You can't rely on any other Bible teacher to just lecture you and tell you exactly what it says and exactly what it means. Because we're not Jesus. But if we take those words of Jesus, we hear those words of Jesus, and we do those words of Jesus, when the storm comes, we will stand. When the net is cast, we will be gathered. But if we don't hear, we don't do, we don't share like that scribe, but rather like, oh, I don't like this. Oh, this is too hard. Then what are we doing wasting our time sitting in here today? Because that's what his parables are about. The kingdom of heaven is filled with people who look like they are good seed, but they're really just weeds. And God doesn't say, hey, I'm going to take care of that right now. He says, no, I'm going to take care of that later. That's a real challenge. That is real teaching. That is real talk. And that is what Jesus did to try and teach people that couldn't walk home with it. They could only walk home with the story. They could only walk home with the vivid imagery. And they were supposed to still understand what he was saying. So when the disciples asked him, why do you talk to them in parables? His answer is, so they can see, but they don't see. So they can hear, they don't hear. Because they don't want it. For those who want it, it is like a lamp that is put on the bedside table that gives light to all the house. That was in Mark 4, right after he talks about the sower. Jesus, that's the way you talk. And yet we come every single week and we expect Alexander, we expect myself to tell us exactly what this book means. And that's not what our Lord did. We have it so easy. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's the goal today. Put us back in time. Challenge us for what we got. This morning, if you need the prayers of this church, you're ready to submit yourself to the Lord. Whatever the case is, won't you come now as we stand and have to stand.
I am resolved no longer.